In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. Take nothing for your journey. Nothing. No food. No bag for a tent or clothes. No money. Don't even wear extra clothes so that you have extra on your body. Take nothing for your journey. How absurd. Anyone who's ever gone on a journey knows how absurd that is. Oftentimes, the biggest part of a journey is the packing, the preparation. Jesus nips this right in the bud. Take nothing for the journey. How terrifying for the journeyer to go out with nothing. No food, no money, no bag, no tent, no clothes, nothing. Just what you're wearing. Right before Jesus gives this strange declaration to his disciples and sends them on this mission, he runs into more resistance. As we've been walking through Mark's gospel, this should not surprise us. Jesus, a few weeks ago, had run into great resistance from his own family. You may remember, they thought that Jesus had gone insane. They wanted to apprehend Jesus and stop him from the madness. And as Jesus' family was trying to get a hold of him, remember, he had redefined family. It's not blood relationship. It's those who do God's will that are family. And then the authorities had piled on in that very moment, and they had said, Jesus is possessed by Satan himself. He comes from the evil one. Everything he's doing is from the evil one. Those same authorities had wanted to destroy Jesus, we're told. They wanted him dead. He had broken their Sabbath laws. He was disobeying their expectations for life, for their society. So as Jesus again encounters resistance today, we shouldn't be surprised. But here he is in his hometown, and as he goes back to his hometown, we're told that the people take offense at Jesus. They see this man who used to be the rascal boy growing up in their midst. We saw you grow up, Jesus. We know your family, your sisters, your brothers, they're here with us. Aren't you the son of Mary? No mention of Joseph. Certainly, his hometown knew. Mary got pregnant out of wedlock. This is the bastard son. We know all about you, Jesus. Now you think you're all special? What wisdom do you have? You came from our own hometown. What power do you think you have? They're offended at him. They have no trust that he could be the one from God. And their lack of trust makes Jesus unable to do any deeds of power, we're told, except for a few healings. So right after this resistance, Jesus gathers the 12 in again. Remember, the last time he faced resistance, he had called the 12 as a new society, a new world in the midst of the old. So he sends these 12 out and he says, I'm sending you on a mission. And he sends them specifically two by two. If you think back to your biblical knowledge, you may remember there was a famous two by two earlier in the Bible. Noah. The animals had been gathered in two by two, to rescue the animals from the destruction that was coming upon the world as God was wanting to wipe out and restart humanity. So as Jesus, instead of gathering in by two now, sends two by two out into the world, rescue is coming. As God had worked to rescue his creation, the world, in Noah's day, now Jesus is sending them out two by two to save the world from the coming destruction. And notice that he sends them out with a staff. If you think again through the biblical knowledge buried deep in your head, there was a famous figure with a staff for the people of Israel. Moses. He and his staff had been so important. Remember the staff that he had thrown into the midst of Pharaoh, right in front of his court, that had turned into the snake and gone back, and the power that God showed through this staff to say that his people were going to be set free. The same staff that Moses held and Aaron supported over the Red Sea as the waters parted and the people walked to their liberation out of slavery. Jesus sends them with a staff, a symbol that in the same way that Moses was coming to bring liberation, this mission that Jesus is sending his people on is a mission of liberation to rescue the world from its destruction. But he sends them out with nothing else. For me, the most difficult and puzzling part of the entire text, he sends them out with nothing. We know that he is sending them on the same mission, and if we reflect on that mission, we will understand why he sends them out with nothing. So Jesus, as John had been proclaiming from the very beginning, had a message that was simple and short and sweet, a message we must never forget because it's the heart of everything we're about. God's kingdom, his rule, is here. It's at hand. It's in our midst. So as Jesus sends out these 12 to proclaim that message, that God's in charge of the world, God is a father providing for his world, caring for his world, protecting his world, Jesus feels that it is absolutely essential that they go out with nothing. Think about it. If God is ruling the world, if God is in charge of the world, if God's kingdom really has come, and he is the Father who's providing for us, protecting us, it only makes perfect sense that they would have to go out with nothing. If they were to go out as the resource people, with the money, with the power, with the protection, with all of the supplies, their very lives would be a contradiction to the message. People would say, yeah, you're saying God's in charge of the world, but that's easy for you to say when you're the one with the money. You're the one with the extra clothes. You're the one with all the provisions and the food. Yeah, sure, God's in charge because you've got it well. Jesus says, no, if they're going to listen to your message, you have to live it. If you go out with nothing, they'll understand your act of trust. You only go out with nothing if you've got a heavenly Father who's going to get you that food you need, who's going to get you the money you need, who's going to get you the clothes, the provision, the protection. You have to go out with nothing if you're really going to embody that message that God is in fact in charge in caring for his world. How backwards have we as Christians gotten this? I was really convicted preparing for this text, thinking about how often we as Christians have it completely and utterly backwards. I've been a part of quite a few mission trips in my life, and I've seen quite a few mission trips. And when you go on a mission trip as Christians, we do the exact opposite. We rally the money together. We rally the supplies, the clothes, the food. We're going to go in as the resource people. We're going to show them we got it all and we're here to share it with you guys. Jesus tells his disciples to do it the opposite. Don't take the money on your mission trip. Don't take the food. Don't take the clothing. Go with nothing. So opposite the way we operate. The The world, I believe, tells us constantly that we need to be filled. We need to be fulfilled. But I think Jesus in this text is challenging us that saying emptiness, nothingness, is actually quite good. If we go forth as Christians into the world as the resource people, we're going to give people the message that the salvation they're looking for is money and food and clothes and all these things. And as great as those things are, as essential as they can be for life, does not Jesus teach us life is more than food? Life is more than clothing. If as we carry out our mission, that's what we're about, we're giving the wrong message. Isn't life about the kingdom of God? We can give people money, we can give people food, but that's going to run out. If we give them our Heavenly Father, He won't run out. He'll care for them every single day of their life. Money, food, clothes, they rot, they wear out, they fail. But if we bring them our Heavenly Father, His rule, His kingdom, now that is something lasting. Something that won't run out. Remember our text from last week. We had two daughters. Two daughters who were healed. And remember what was the key connection between them and their healing? The daughter of poverty, she had lost everything. She had nothing. She was empty. She reached out and touched Jesus. The kingdom of God healed. The daughter of privilege, on the other hand, she lost it all as she died. And as she lay dead there in her home, she had nothing. And it was in the nothingness and the emptiness that Jesus spoke to her, little girl, get up. And there was life. The nothingness, the emptiness, it's not an exception. It's a common theme with how Jesus sees our participation in the kingdom of God. So are we the kind of people that have bought into the world's idea of being filled, of being fulfilled as the answer? Do we strive to make something of our lives, to build ourselves up? Or are we willing to take the directive of Jesus to take nothing, to be nothing, in fact? Mother Teresa, one of my favorite figures in our faith, a woman said of her, some very powerful words. She said that Mother Teresa made herself free to be nothing so that God could use her for anything. She was free to be nothing so that God could use her for anything. As we pursue filling ourselves, fulfilling ourselves, building ourselves up, we close ourselves off from God's plan for our life. His ability to use us for anything. We have all these stipulations. Jesus, yeah, you can use me, but don't mess with this. Don't mess with that. I want this just like this. I need this. I want this. We got this. All like that. But other than that, you can use me for whatever you want. How about letting ourselves go and become nothing, taking nothing so that we say, Jesus, truly, here's a clean slate. No asterisks, no exceptions. Use me for anything. I don't need to make something of myself. I don't need to be important. I don't need to be special. I'm willing to be nothing because I know that even in my nothingness, you can use me for beautiful things. Take nothing for your journey. Such a challenge to us in our context. Are we willing to reverse our thinking? To not be the resource people, the people with the answers because we have the money, the food, the clothing, that we're willing to say, look, the one thing that matters is we have a Heavenly Father who's ruling our world. And he's going to come through for us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to protect us. That's it. That's all that matters. That's the gift we can offer you. Food, sure, it's great, but it'll be here today, gone tomorrow. Sometimes you'll have lots, sometimes you won't. But if you have your Heavenly Father, that's the good news. That's the kingdom come. So let us take nothing. Let us be nothing. Because in our nothingness, we'll see that God is everything. He's here. And that's all that matters. Amen.